Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 39. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength and weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. Welcome to Courageous Radiance Podcast, friend. My name is Brittany Dixon, and I'm so thankful for you. This is a podcast place where wives, mothers, busy women, where we are encouraged in Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross, equipped by studying his word, and therefore we live anchored to his firm foundation. And because of that foundation, because we're anchored and remain abiding in him, we thrive. We thrive in our chaos, we thrive in our sadness, we thrive in our busy, we thrive with all of the demands, we thrive with expectations that have been unmet, we thrive in all seasons of life. That's what we talk about here. We apply these big concepts, these scriptures to our everyday lives, whether it's busy, busy, or it feels monotonous. This is for you, and I'm so thankful that you are here today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father God, for the woman listening on the other side of this. God, whether it's one or more, I pray for her. I pray that, God, you just give her grace just for the moment that she's in right now to her day ahead, her week ahead, her month ahead. God, your grace is so sufficient in our massive gaps. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, Father God. I pray, God, that this be a time that she's replenished in your word. God, may it be all for you, all for your glory, all your words, none of me, all for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening to Courageous Radiance. I'm so thankful and grateful to jump back into discipleship. We took a small detour pause last week, still applicable though, but we talked through the life of Hannah in 1 Samuel. Coming back to Colossians 3, specifically wanted to apply this Christian life, this life of the disciple. What does that mean? Big picture, abstract picture, all these big, you know, this methodology, how do you, like all these concepts, but how do you walk this out as wives, as mothers, in your everyday busy, where it just feels like I can't squeeze in like 2 seconds to even pee, let alone to do anything else of any grander scale, right? Where everything seems like it adds extra. And there's all these needs, all these drains and pulls from you. And not to mention, I don't know if you're in a space where you just feel stuck, you feel tired or frustrated in where you're at in the season, because you even feel that you have a dream from God, you have a calling on your life, you have these expectations as wives, as mothers, and you feel like you are failing. Friend, can I speak to her today? Because that's me. I literally left my closet this morning. Every single day this week, it's been the same. And this is a time and a season that I don't know really what God is showing me right now. Yet I keep showing up with this same hand open, ready to receive, God, whatever it is, I'm just frustrated. And that is so encouraging, because many times we look to people, our spouses, our jobs, a glass of wine, shopping, success, ooh, more followers, more people in my DM telling me how amazing I am. We look to these outside sources to validate what only God can fill. And I want to talk to the one today who is possibly puttering out, trying to live for the Lord, trying to serve the Lord, trying to be a good wife, trying to be a good mother, trying to do all the things, right? Whether you're on staff with ministry or you volunteer, however, whatever capacity that you serve, you love God, you're like, I'm not even doing this type of life, this old, my old self. I'm trying to live for the Lord. And even in that, it is like, God, I'm tired. How do you navigate through that place? Well, that to me is when you're in this middle, this pivotal middle point. And the pivot isn't, oh, girl, you're going to pivot to success. And that is when God is going to call you up out. I don't know that. Listen, I mean, when you hear stuff like that, please run. And while you're running, open scripture. Like multitask, because you know we multitask as mothers and wives anyways. So as you're running away from that, open up scripture and trace that for me. I started this podcast off in Hebrews 11, specifically because I wanted to start at actually in reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. But in inductive Bible study, in understanding scripture, when you hear something like therefore, so Hebrews 1 starts off, 12:1 starts at therefore. Well, that immediately should be like a flag to say, well, what's the therefore? What was before that? So before that is this big chapter on faith, the definition of faith, the faith that God is only pleased by faith. And that big long paragraph, which even there was more preceding what I read, is all the list of the people of faith. And the paragraph, y'all, it's still going today. 2024, it's May 2024. It's still going, and your name is in that paragraph. We are called to a life of faith, and faith is not seeing, it's believing, it's trusting, it's resting, it's settled, even if around me nothing is settled. So it's getting back anchored and rooted to what it is that I'm heading towards, my why, my purpose. And before we come back to Colossians 3, I wanted to address this because initially I was going to just talk about this discipleship life. Like, what are we as disciples called to do? Like, great, I want to sign up for this club called discipleship. But like, what's the prereqs? Like what do I have to start doing as this disciple? It sounds like more. I don't know. It sounds like more effort. It sounds like something I have to perform, right? Pat my head and rub my belly. And before I jumped into that, I wanted to talk through this Hebrews 11 and 12, because friend, God is not calling you to do anything but rest in faith. So, and the what is going to look like, the product of what the result, as again, as I read in Hebrews 11, y'all, nothing of what I read sounded encouraging. I don't know if that was the theme that you got. I mean, the disciples, the people of faith in the paragraph that precedes our paragraph, which is still the same paragraph, just one long paragraph for thousands and thousands of years since Jesus, that there is a cost to following Jesus. And there's this lie that's attached in our flesh, and we buy into the whispers and the lies of the enemy that's like, see, this is too hard. You weren't supposed to do that. God isn't calling you to do that. He wants you to be happy and have a lollipop and skip to the Emerald City on the yellow brick road. Life is supposed to be just a gumball. I mean, like lies, lies, lies. And in our flesh, right, when something gets hard, just your natural, I mean, I'm saying pathophysiological, biologically, our bodies are built to protect themselves, save themselves. Each cell at the molecular level, your brain, your heart, big organs down to the cellular level, you are built for survival. You are built to protect yourself, to self-protect. That's the whole parasympathetic versus the sympathetic nerve system. Your body is ready for fight and flight. It's ready. So when we get into these invincible, it's invincible, but it's real. But when we get into these invincible wars, these invincible, these internal, nothing tangible that you can see, right? It would almost be easier. Not that I want this, but like if there was like a World War III, right? Or when, if I dial back and think about the prior wars, like my dad was in the Vietnam War. That's like an actual war, like physically, like let's put on armor, let's carry guns and all that type of stuff. But y'all, there is an everyday invincible war and it goes on in our minds. It goes on around us in this spiritual realm. And the way that you, wife, mother, girl, the way that you are going to win this war in your mind, The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, wonderful book. I highly suggest you to read that book, is in your faith. It is in your stance. Ephesians 6, this armor of God. It is in taking up this shield of faith. I mean, it is the defensive item that kept all of these prior disciples to keep going. Y'all, the one that really got me, I don't know if you were listening to it, but where saw it in two, I wonder which disciple. I feel like I was going to say, but no, Peter was hung upside down, I think, on the cross. But listen, any of it, but that verse 39, all these were approved through their faith. And they didn't receive what was promised. So, you know, again, this tension where it's like this struggle, this frustration is what I've been feeling is like, Lord, I know you're calling me to do this. I'm feeling frustrated because there's just no open doors. I'm working. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I was feeling just like full of dismay. And this reminder of this marathon, this in the cloud of witnesses before Hebrews 12:1, that's where I found encouragement and I wanted to share it because surely I cannot be the only one that's feeling what I'm feeling. So Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is. And guess what? We're seated, going back now to Colossians 3. Guess where we're seated? In Jesus. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And guess where we are? Colossians 3:1. So if you have been raised with Christ, this was from 2 weeks ago, I'm just rereading. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You're seated in Christ because Christ, who is our life, Ephesians 3, we are dead and we are seated in Christ. So everything showing up today and the monotonous or the busy or the frustration of today and the hat that you have to put on or the two or three that's on your head right now, you do that from a seated position. So as disciples, I don't want to just list off, as we're going to read, the things that we are to put on without first reminding you of this seatedness that is the foundation upon everything that we do. Like, we're not just called to just do one more thing. Jesus needs nothing. We're called to confess and to believe, right? And to follow him. So in Colossians 3, Where am I reading? So actually, for the sake of time, please read Colossians 3:1. But the verse I really want to read to you is verse 12. But prior to that, from verses 5 to 11, really even more, 5 to 14, there's this word put, P-U-T, and then there's these three, like putting, not doing anymore, and these three things that we're putting that we will start doing. So the three that I wrote here, put to death, and it's our old nature, put away, and there was these lists of these actions of these things we're not going to be doing anymore. You know, anger, greed, impure thoughts, lust, all those things. And then lastly, putting off this old self. So taking off this old person, even though like you still look the same in the mirror, it's this idea of taking that person on. So now you're essentially empty, because your old nature, your old inside is gone. Your actions, what you're doing is you're done. You're not doing that anymore. And the old you is put away. And what happens is now we put on this new self. So we have three things that we need to stop doing, three things that we need to start doing, starting with putting on the new self. So we're taking off the old self and putting on the new self. And we had these actions that we were going to stop doing, Colossians 3:5, and these new actions that we are going to start doing, Colossians 3:12, and even into 3:13. And then we put on, it says above all, verse 14, put on love. Above all, meaning like above any of those things that were listed, those things anchor from love. And where does love come from? Well, you know, 1 John 4, we love because Christ first loved us. So our ability to even love is because we first received love from Christ. And where is Christ? Christ is seated. And where are we seated? We're seated in him. So it's not anything, hey, you know, friend Rebecca, girl, you need to start doing, you start doing it from a position of Christ, not a position of you. You don't start because, well, let me go do this certification masterclass on how to figure out how to start loving, on how to start, right? You start from Christ. That's the basis. That's the par. That's the mark of where we start from. And this was so key for me, because my bent is to strive. I never feel like I'm enough. And that was even my breakdown, another ugly cry moment with me and God. Because it keeps coming. It is something that the Lord is working on. And I'm definitely not where I was. And I know that by faith, I'm going to keep moving ahead. But I struggle very greatly to feel enough. And I band-aid my pain, or I cover it up, or I keep going and just press through, right? Just, girl, buckle up, buttercup, put on your big girl panties, right? Like all those things that you say to yourself, right? But it's like I don't allow myself to really get to the end and the very bottom, because by then I'm trying to pick myself back up by my bootstraps. So I start band-aiding. So my question and encouragement for your quiet time is, are you band-aiding any of your pain? And even if the pain is in something that feels like an invincible war, not, you know, when you look at your life, well, like, you know, I'm married, I have kids, I have a good job, I have a white picket fence and two dogs in a house, right? I from the outside in, I almost feel guilty for complaining about my life. Like the Lord is actually sustaining, like great things are happening, but man, I just struggle with how to fight this invincible battle and then how to do it as a disciple. I feel discouraged because I feel bad for even feeling this way. And I literally want to just encourage you that what you're feeling is not wrong. You just need to go source it back to truth, right? So don't band-aid it. Don't feel like, okay, well, that's wrong, let me not do that. And then band-aiding it for me looks like sleep. Band-aiding it for me looks like I might start having too many glasses of wine. Band-aiding it for me, right? Filling your blank. I mean, don't, you can judge me. That's fine. I don't really care. But think about your issues. What's your bents? What's your proclivity? Band-aiding it for me is, okay, let me go create one more thing that I'm going to do because I'm looking to feel enough in me. My life I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm sad about this, but I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to face this. So I'm going to cover it up. And not to go all medical here, but you know, it has to happen sometimes. I'm a nurse. There's this procedure, like when patients have wounds, and we do this incision and drainage procedure. It's like an IND. We go in and clean, not we, but the doctor, I'm saying. We nurses support and all that. But there's this procedure to clean out these wounds that are infected. And the infection is becoming a big one. It's not just like, oh, that's cute, like little Band-Aid, you know, some Neosporin. No, we need surgery. This infection is compromising not only the tissue of where it's infected, but the localized tissues and tissues distally, the organs, right? Like this can become sepsis, just a bloodstream infection if we don't get to this. We've got to clean this out. Can you imagine if you have this infection and it's you've got a fever, it's pussy, it's dirty, and then you go to the ER and the doctor's like, okay, Band-Aid, a little saline, little bait, you know, just clean it out, Band-Aid. Right? Like, no, like you need more. You might need to dig in and really get all of the tissues that have this infection. And I'm thinking in my mind, just necrotizing fasciitis. And when we decide that enough is enough, we're deciding for God to do surgery and in the part that's dying. And isn't it interesting in Colossians 3 that Jesus says, you're dead. Metaphorically, you are seated in me, seated in Christ, and your life is in me. Your old self, put it away. Your old ways, stop doing them. Right? Your old nature, done. New self in me. In verse 12, this is what I wanted to read. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved. And it goes on to say, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are to forgive. But that part, chosen, I wanted to finish this by just encouraging you with that word. You are chosen for this. We began reading all of these greats before us, these people of faith before us that were chosen for the life and the journey that they had that ended in what appears to be demise, but their resurrected new self in Christ is better than what they sacrificed, the cost that they laid down in order to follow Christ. So as we think about being disciples as mothers and as wives, and we show up each day and put on all the 18 hats that we wear, I want you to remember and ask yourself, did God not say already that this is what I was chosen for? And the answer is yes. Like what you've signed up for is not just this Christian club. It's not just another church meeting called discipleship. You have signed up for a lifestyle, a cost, a surrender, a practice that includes following Jesus at all demise of your old self. So for me, I didn't leave my frustration with time with the Lord, my surrender time of the Lord with an answer, but I left encouraged to get back on that marathon race, to get back on that path and remember what I was called to do. Even if God doesn't give the answers, He has an answer. He has a direction for me. I know what it is, and I'm going to keep moving forward by faith. I pray that this is encouraging to you, friend, and that you have an amazing time with the Lord in your quiet space today and tomorrow and each day until we meet again next week.